It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. Wisconsin joined a nationwide task force this week to try to cut down on illegal robocalls. The National Consumer Law Center says Americans received over 50 billion robocalls last year. Dozens of attorneys general will target their investigations and litigations against telecom companies and their role in not preventing these scam calls. So join in on your experience with robocalls, what you do when you get them, 800-642-1234. Michael Domke is director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection within the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Michael, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So how often is your Bureau of Consumer Protection receiving complaints about these robocalls?
We receive complaints every single day, whether they're phone inquiries, emails, or filing a formal complaint.
What do you do with these complaints?
Well, a variety of things, depending on the origin of the complaint. You know, first we'll try and identify where the source is or get a little bit more information, and then we can track them down. But there is really a variety of calls that or ways that it can come in. So it depends on the nature of it.
Do you see trends when you watch the day-to-day traffic of these complaints?
We do see trends. Typically, they're across types of industries, such as, you know, we'll see robocalls coming in trying to identify themselves as a lottery or a local lottery winner. Recently, we've seen that one spike up, and they're attempting to portray they want to share their winnings. And so these calls will keep coming in and in. And what they're trying to do is to get somebody to answer the phone or hit one of the keys to show that the live person is there. And that's their hook in.
So lottery winnings would be one example. Are there other common scams involving robocalls that people get?
You bet. So a couple of the other most common ones are extended car warranties. They'll be calling and you'll hear a message that says your warranty is expiring, you need to call soon, or offering to say, you know, well, a super great deal on extended coverage for a particular vehicle. And sometimes they're very crafty and they'll actually know what vehicle you have. And they'll get that whether through public information or some other list or even a solicitation that you signed up for. Another one is we'll see a lot recently is the Amazon. So everyone, you know, recently starts consuming from Amazon or is ordering something. And so it's not atypical for a consumer to receive a call from them. And in this scam, what they're doing is saying, hey, we couldn't deliver your package. So we need to verify some of your personal information. Or they'll say there was a problem with your account and your payment didn't go through. So they'll ask you to change your payment method over the phone. And those are all being done to try and get more of your personal information so they can use that for nefarious purposes. Another one that is quite common are utility scams. And we'll see this from, they'll portray to be local carriers. And they'll tell you, hey, your bill is overdue. And so they'll require payment immediately on the phone, or they're going to threaten to have someone come out and disconnect your service. You know, people, of course, will get scared. You know, summer, they're going to want their air conditioning. In winter, they certainly need their heat. So people are more prone to react emotionally and give that information without thinking it through.
Let's step back for just a moment and learn, because not all robocalls are illegal. What kinds of robocalls are allowed without my permission?
Well, it's a great question. And I think this is one of the most common misconceptions about when you sign up for, you know, a list is calls to existing customers are allowed. So if you have a relationship with your local lender, maybe a mortgage company, a credit card, those companies are allowed to call you. And whether that's to follow up on certain information, make you an offer, that is allowed. Another is if you've given any verbal or written permission for a company to call you. One of these areas that people probably don't realize that they're actually giving written permission or when you see a sweepstakes or enter to win this prize. Maybe you're out and you see a car sitting and it's got one of those big boxes and it says enter your information here. Oftentimes, if you read the fine print, you're giving permission for whoever's promoting that particular prize to contact you. And then you'll start receiving calls, you know, from them. And then another one that's probably most relevant right now, and as we'll see, you know, for the remainder of the year, are political campaigns or polls or surveys are allowed.
So, and yes, so election season is heating up, and I would imagine then the volume of these robocalls we might receive would increase, and these are legal.
You're absolutely right. You know, with the primary election next Tuesday, I wouldn't be surprised if we're being bombarded with those calls already. And as we get closer to the governor's election, you know, at the end of the year, you're going to see them continue to ramp up.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Michael Domke, director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection, and that's housed within the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, looking at the impact of robocalls, what to do when you get them, and where they go from here as attorneys general are banding together to litigate against telecom companies in this area. 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Michael, what should people do if they receive a robocall?
Well, the first thing I suggest they do is just hang up. Oftentimes, you're going to be able to tell if it's an automated call and someone that you don't want to deal with. Just hang up the phone. If you do happen to stay on, certainly don't say anything or press any buttons. New technology will show that if there's any voice that is detected, that will probably result in you getting even more phone calls. Or if that call directs you to hit a button to verify something, hitting that button is going to show that there is a real live user on the other line, and then they'll just keep calling to try and get you back on the line.
I've noticed in the calls that I've received, sometimes there's this odd space or gap before I'm able to hear anything when I do like accidentally, you know, hit answer on the cell phone. And I'm wondering if that space is any indication that it is a robocall.
I would say 99.9% of the time that it is. So, you know, with robocalls, they're really an automatic dialer. It's a robot that is sending out thousands of random phone numbers every minute. And what they're doing is just looking for one or two or a few people to pick up. And that pause that you're hearing is them sending out, and they're waiting for someone to say something, someone to hit a button. And then that will trigger the technology to let whoever the caller is know, hey, somebody's actually here. And then they'll proceed into, you know, whatever marketing or scam they're going to try and elicit.
Take us into the Do Not Call registry and the efforts there to stop robocalls, or at least try to rein them in. Explain the registry.
So the registry is a list of phone numbers that registered telemarketers must scrub their call lists from. And what it does is it really stops at calls and texts from legitimate telemarketers, because the law requires them to make sure they don't call anybody on that list. It's very easy to sign up for. It's free. You only have to register your number one time, and it's probably the best deterrent to stop getting phone calls.
But it doesn't, I mean, so if they're just telling the telemarketers who are, you know, following the rules not to call, I mean, it does leave this whole, you know, orbit of scammers who aren't following the rules to still place these robocalls. What could make the Do Not Call registry more effective?
Well, the Do Not Call registry, you're absolutely correct. It applies to those who want to comply with the law and do things the right way. And certainly that is one tool, as long as they're complying with it, that can be useful. For those that aren't, you know, in 2019, the federal government passed the TRACED Act. And what that did is it required telecommunication companies to put in kind of an authentication process that would scrub out some of these bad actors or those that aren't using the certain technologies or looking at the list, to try and deter some of those calls as well.
Do you see any movement in the Do Not Call registry for expansion of it in ways that would make it more difficult for, you know, these illegal scam calls to get through? Can the registry gain more teeth?
Well, the registry currently has, I mean, it has an enforcement mechanism too. There are penalties for violators. So that is there. I think the concern is, you're always going to have individuals or businesses or companies who are going to sidestep or try and thwart the law. And so as many, I guess, proactive measures as you put in place, ultimately, you're still going to have people who are going to go around that. So that's where, you know, we come into play and with the authority to try and enforce those laws and rules and hold those companies accountable.
Let's take a call now. Dan is with us from Dickeyville. Dan, hi.
Hey. I like to, when I have time to do it, to mess with the scammers. I find it quite enjoyable, and I kind of look at it as somewhat of a public service, because if I'm wasting their time, maybe that's, you know, somebody's grandma or somebody who's not getting swindled that day because I'm wasting their time. Also, I gave some telemarketers a few years ago a fake name. If you've ever seen the show Burn Notice, it's a fake name from that show. It's a spy show. I tell them my name. I told them my name was Chuck Finley, which is the ridiculous name. And apparently they keep calling looking for that Chuck Finley, and usually it's a good indicator I'm being scammed as soon as they call looking for him.
Hmm.
Particularly the car warranty, when they ask me or list all the things that they're willing to fix with the warranty, I'll ask them questions like, do you guys replace license plates? And do you guys, I'll ask them, do you make license plates? And then they get confused by the question. I'm like, why would we make license plates? Well, that's what they make in prison, because that's where you're going to end up.
Dan, thank you for the call. Michael, you know, Dan playing along with this. Your thoughts there?
Well, I think Dan keyed in on the end of it there with getting more phone calls for Chuck Finley. You know, by playing along, there is certainly, you could be, you know, wasting their time or taking that, but you're also opening yourself up to future calls. And some of these companies may also exchange lists and trade it. So they know if they have a live number, they may sell that to another company, opening you up to calls from even more people.
Michael Domke leads the state's Bureau of Consumer Protection under the umbrella of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection as we explore how to stop menacing robocalls. Join in on these scam calls designed to steal money and your experience with the Do Not Call Registry, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about robocalls and robotexts, too. The Federal Communications Commission issued a warning in recent days that robotext scams are on the rise, could even surpass robocalls. Michael Domke, State Director of Wisconsin's Bureau of Consumer Protection, stays with us. Let's bring on a caller now. Katie is with us from Burlington. Katie, hi.
Yeah, I joined in late, so I apologize if I'm repeating something. But the one that's really scary to me is I've gotten a lot of these lately where the person will text you and they say, hey, Mary, haven't talked to you for a long time. How are you doing? Or they don't even use a name. They go, how have you been doing? I haven't talked to you for a while. And it's like a very benign text. And what I think they're trying to do is get you to say, oh, I'm sorry, this isn't Mary, this is so-and-so.
Mm.
And like I told my mom, who's 86, I'm like, Mom, you know, don't be polite, because most people want to be polite and they want to get back to somebody and help them, you know, find the correct person. But it just happens all the time. So I know it's some type of a scam and I don't get it. So
Katie, thank you for bringing that up. No, we have not gotten to robotexts. Michael, what's going on there?
Well, I would say this is pretty much the falls in line with the robocalls. It's just an even easier way to get the message out there and send them even further. The technology will allow you to send certain calls, but you're going to need phone lines, numbers to do that with texting. The technology makes it even more robust.
How are, you know, state consumer protection authorities responding to more Robotech scams? We hear the complaints now on the rise. What are you doing about it?
Well, we have seen the number of complaints keep coming in. Each year, telemarketing is the top complaint that we get. And within that telemarketing, there are robocalls, violations of the telemarketing and the do not call list that I mentioned, and also these types of scams, you know, which continue to grow in the types, styles, ways that they're administered. Well, what we do is we encourage anyone who receives one of these continuously, if they're on the do not call list, to file a complaint. And what we'll then do is follow up, trying to identify who the caller was, if they're a registered solicitor. You know, as we mentioned earlier, with these foreign companies calling in, it makes it extremely difficult to identify where they're coming from, especially if they're out of country. But the first step we can do is try and make sure that if they are located here domestically and they should be registered, we'll follow up and make sure they're aware of Wisconsin's law.
I found that some spam text messages said I could opt out by replying stop, S-T-O-P, which seemed like a, you know, a reasonable thing to do. And I've seen that before. Should I do it?
Well, it's a great question because, you know, the law requires that if you are going to send automated text, you have to give that option on how they can opt out. The problem is, you know, if you're responding to it, that may trigger them to in turn say, hey, we've got, you know, a live person, try to continue texting. I personally have hit stop on several of those and not hit an issue. The key thing I would encourage everyone to avoid is don't click on any links in the text. That when you, if you're sending a text back out, it may, you know, verify someone's there, but the real danger is clicking on a link.
Is there anything I could or should do to alert my wireless carrier that I'm getting these text messages?
Oh, you could certainly let them know, but really the best start is to just register on the do not call list. It includes phone calls and texts, and then that will let them know. And with the carrier also, you know, they should be doing their due diligence and scrubbing out those scam calls if they can. But as we mentioned earlier, there's always going to be, you know, bad actors who are going to get through.
We heard from Kristen in La Crosse, called and couldn't stay on the line, and wonders if services like Google Assist can help weed out these scam calls.
I'm not very familiar with the filters and what Google Assist does. I know that there is a lot of technology and a lot of carriers and a lot of software offerings that claim to do that, but I'm not positioned to really know how effective they are and whether or not they're going to achieve what you're looking for.
Okay. So what do you see out of the state announcing the nationwide anti-robocall litigation task force to investigate and take legal action against telecoms on these calls? How could the task force help reduce robocalls, do you think?
Well, the key to any task force is the opportunity to share information and kind of focus a much larger force into a particular issue. And in this one, this litigation group is focused on the voice over internet protocol providers, who are really suspected of being responsible for a majority of these foreign originating calls, also known as robocalls. And so what they're doing is they're gonna try and take a look at the providers who are not taking the affirmative steps to curb that traffic that they're supposed to be, and or just outright ignoring those issues so that they can create revenue, because that is the whole purpose of robocalls, is to try and, you know, make money on who's going to answer. So what they're going to do,
I was going to say, and they must make a lot of money because the robocalls just keep coming and coming. Is this lucrative?
It certainly is. You know, and the thing is, it's so easy. As I mentioned, you know, earlier in the call here, you can send thousands of calls per minute, you know, with just one software program. And then you're going to try and, you know, maybe have a bank of a few people who are going to answer those if they get somebody on the line. But if they miss a few, it's no loss to them because they are still going to continue to send millions and millions and millions of calls till they get a few people.
We're talking about robocalls, about robotexts with Michael Domke, who leads a state office focused on consumer protection. You can still time to share your experiences, 800-642-1234. Michael, we heard from John in Bangor, called and couldn't stay, and wonders if police can trace scam calls.
It's very difficult. You know, it's even more difficult with spoofing. And what spoofing is it puts up a fake number of who's actually calling. Mm. And so now I think you'll see a lot, the technology will show, and this is how the scams become so effective, because as you know, say the Amazon scam, they'll spoof that phone number so it shows up on your caller ID as Amazon. And so you don't actually know who's calling or what the number is behind the scenes. And the few instances where you do get those phone numbers, you could certainly try and call law enforcement. But I would encourage those people to call us first. You know, we have direct authority over the telemarketers, so we'd be a better bet to help with that.
In our last moments together, what else should consumers know and be aware of about these robocalls and robotexts?
Well, I would say do a few things to protect yourself up front. First is register on the Do Not Call registry, and you can do that at nocall.wisconsin.gov or by calling 888-382-1222. That's the best first step. The next is to help educate yourself. Our website has a lot of material on what you can look for. We keep updates. We issue alerts on current scams. And so really education is the best effort. And then once you're educated and know what you're supposed to do, the third is to follow through on it. You know, don't hang up on the robocalls. Don't click any links. Don't try and engage them unless you really want to be Chuck Finley for the day and do so. You can certainly do that. But just let it go and try and protect yourself.
Michael, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to help share the message.
Michael Domke is Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection within the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. We have a link to the Wisconsin Do Not Call Registry at WPR.org/mornings. Just ahead, a new report from the American Farmland Trust estimates more than 515,000 acres of Wisconsin farmland could be lost between 2016 and 2040. We talk with two Wisconsin researchers about threats to farmland and land use planning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.